Hi everyone! Before we dive into this week's episode, please check out our promo of the week.
Do you love true crime but are looking for something different?
It sounds like a sitcom.
It does.
The Benders.
The kind of assholes you should probably leave them alone.
Do you like learning about cases so off the wall they can't possibly be true?
Her wig is enormous, but it is lifted off her head by a monkey.
Do you love history, but want to hear about what they didn't teach you in school?
It's just got a almost where you hang your horns sign.
Do you like laughing awkwardly about cases that are bizarre and a little strange?
They'd be able to wield so many knives with all of their little arms.
Then we have the podcast for you. Join me, Lindsay.
And me, Madison, for Ye Old Crime.
Where we discuss the funny, strange, and obscure crimes of yesteryear.
Listen every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll see you next time with another tale
as old as crime.
Hi, I'm Laura.
And I'm Jo.
And this is Crime Divers.
Welcome to today's episode.
Hello.
And today we have a lot of sword.
Yeah, first one of 2022.
Yes, but before we do that.
Yes, we have our missing persons that we want to highlight. So yes. Jill, I believe you have one.
Yes, I've found a man called Douglas, known as Doug Crawford. So he is 66 years old and he is missing and disabled. So he's a white male, 5'7", 170 pounds, brown eyes, hair grey/brown. He has a moustache, he had a moustache when he went missing. I mean, scars he has on his right arm and his lower back. Doug is a surviving cancer patient who has a hole in his throat, rendering him unable to speak. Right. So Doug is from, sorry, I never said where he was from. He's from Vinton, Louisiana. So Doug was last seen on March the 19th, 2021, wearing blue jeans, a long sleeve, grey shirt and black tennis shoes. Doug also wore bandanas to cover the hole in his neck from the cancer surgery. The picture that we'll put up on social media, the bandana in that photo is the same bandana he was wearing on the day that he was last seen.
Right.
So he would carry a pen and pad to communicate with people because, as I said, he couldn't speak. So if you have any information on the whereabouts of Doug, you will receive a reward only if he is found. And the number to call is 931-994-4669. So I will put that information in the show notes, and then I will put the reward post, the missing poster, sorry, on social media. So if anybody could share that, comment on it, like it, whatever, interact.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yep. So, and also, as usual, we'd just like to say thank you to our Patreons, and if anybody would like to join them over there for bonus episodes, just head on over to patreon.com/crimedivers and the tiers start from as little as £1 a month. So, that's that out of the way.
Yes. Shall we get on to today's Laura Souls?
Yes. So, what's it called?
It's called Imprisoned by Our Parents.
And where in the world? I think I know where in the world
we're in America.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think I know this story, but I think most people will, but as we've always said, it's good to get the...
I didn't know the whole backstory here, so, I mean, I've heard of the case.
Well, yeah, I mean...
But I didn't know the ins and outs.
I think a lot of people won't unless they've obviously done research or listened to a podcast. I listened to a podcast just a few weeks ago that... So that's the only reason why I know. If I hadn't listened to that podcast, then I probably wouldn't have known much of the details. But you might have other details that they didn't include on that podcast. You never know.
Who knows?
So should we dive in?
Let's dive in. So, as we've just been saying, this is a well-known case about a family called the Turpins.
Yeah.
I know it's quite a popular case, but it's just something that really, you know, got my interest and I really, really want to cover it. And I just thought, you know what, this is a good one to do on the podcast. So, Are you ready to hear it?
Yep.
Okay. So David Alan Turpin was born on the 17th of October 1961. Louise Anne Robinette was born on the 24th of May 1968. The two of them met. Now, there's two places where they say they've met. There was one report that I said that they met at Princeton High School in Princeton, West Virginia. But then I've listened to a documentary that said they actually met at church. Okay. So I'm not entirely sure where they met, but they met.
Unfortunately, they met.
They became a couple and married in 1985 when David was 23 and Louise was 16. So the Turpins are Pentecostal Christians, which is a Protestant Christian movement that emphasises direct personal experience of God through baptism with the Holy Spirit. So as part of their beliefs, the couple had numerous children because God called on them to do so.
Oh.
They had 10 daughters and 3 sons between 1988 and 2015. So despite their socially conservative beliefs, the couple also engaged in swinging.
What? Swinging?
Swinging, yeah. Apparently.
Oh, okay, like, you know, each to their own, you know, haven't got a problem with that, but if they have beliefs and stuff, surely the God didn't tell them to go and do that.
Yeah. So, you know, in the early days, I mean, they seemed like, you know, a fairly normal family. You know, David, he had a good job. You know, they lived comfortably. They were all right. But in 1998, they actually went bankrupt because apparently Louise just liked to spend money.
Ah, okay.
Like, she just... Same. Had like, yeah, like, she had, like, you know, her credit card bills were ridiculous. Like, she... I mean, I obviously, I've seen... pictures of like the houses that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
They were hoarders. Like, she would buy stuff right. just for the sake of just, buying it, basically.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff would not even get used and touched and stuff. And I mean, obviously, maybe I don't know if I'll touch on it later, but you know, in some of the houses, you know, she'd have like all these like brand new like toys, board games, and stuff like that the kids weren't allowed to touch. But like she would, you know, she would have all this.
What's the point buying them then?
Well, exactly. But I mean, you know, that so I can understand maybe why they went bankrupt because clearly she spent all.
She obviously had a problem.
Yeah, but so yeah, so they went bankrupt, and they also just like withdrew from everybody. You know, they homeschooled the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they just it just went all wrong, and there was a documentary obviously that I watched that interviewed our sister, Louise's sister, and her name is Teresa, and she did go on to say that Louise and herself, and I don't think she had a brother as well, but certainly Louise herself, they suffered some abuse from their grandfather.
Oh, okay.
And apparently their mother had encouraged it and stuff like that when they were younger, so...
Their mother encouraged her dad
to abuse
her kids. Children.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And the reason I want to mention that is because it's not an excuse maybe for what happened, but it's almost
there's
like...
There's never an excuse.
No, you know, there was obviously a cycle of abuse that has been repeated, and it comes from, I think, you know, Louise being abused by her grandfather when she was younger. So the Turpin family lived in Fort Worth, Texas until 1999, when they moved to a nearby city called Rio Vista. This is where we start to get an idea of what life was like behind closed doors.
Mm.
So, I've no idea how big their house was. I mean, I have seen pictures of it, but I don't know exactly how big it was. But in 2007, David and Louise actually moved 10 of their children into a trailer on their property. So, in this documentary, I've seen, like, they live in this, basically, it's like, one of these towns that have like you have loads of land, like basically like big fields and stuff like that, and like you have like houses and there's not many people around, you know what I mean? They're like all these houses are like that, but big bits of land and houses. So yeah, so they moved 10 of their children into the trailer of the property, and the two youngest into the house and let, and basically they actually left the rest of the children to fend for themselves.
What? So they weren't even, like, coming into the house for their meals?
No, I think apparently they would drop them off, like, supplies now and again. But they literally just left them for a while. I don't know exactly how long, but just, yeah. A long
getting annoyed already.
Yeah. So one of their daughters, Jordan, who was 6 at the time, she said there was a lot of starving and that she had resorted to eating ketchup, mustard and even ice. Oh. So even though they were bringing them off supplies, they weren't... really.
They obviously weren't bringing enough to fill them up.
Exactly. But I just don't understand, like, why you would just chuck them into this trailer. I mean, the house. Like I said, I don't know exactly how big it was inside as such, but I mean, from the outside, it looked like
they had a maybe at least a bedroom, a couple of bedrooms to put them in.
Exactly. I mean, I know there was a lot of kids, but I mean, I surely could have. And I mean, I don't know. You know, I know they were banked and stuff. So I don't know exactly what money situation was like for them. But I mean, if they lived on a big place with lots of land, you'd think they could build something, or I don't know. But
you think they could put the kids somewhere in the house?
Well, you'd think, but yeah. So I think that was awful. And then, you know, and then obviously in the documentary there was an interview with like their neighbours at the time there, neighbours, and I mean they said that they're, you know, they remember them moving in, and you know they have two daughters themselves, and like one of the daughters would go and play with them, stuff like that. So it's. You know, I'll tell you about that in a second, but so they actually moved, like they moved to another place in California. So this is when the neighbours I was just talking about, they actually decided to go and look in their house. I don't know if their house got repossessed or whatever, but they obviously were able to go and look in.
Well,
the house.
After they moved,
right. The neighbours that were still there actually went and looked at the house, because there's like pictures of the house, and it just, you know,
the state that they left it,
yeah, because it's almost like they flitted, you know, they just like upped and moved and left like stuff there, like they left like rubbish and all that sort of stuff. So they had a look around the old house, so they found feces, and they found beds with ropes tied to them,
like human feces,
along with dead cats and piles of garbage.
Dead cats.
Mm-hmm. Which seems to be a theme, because it's not the first time they find dead cats in their house.
Oh, so for one thing, they can't look after their children, but they obviously can't look after their pets either.
It does seem that way, yeah. So I don't know, weird. So, like I say, I saw an interview with the neighbours in Rio Vista, and they had two daughters, and one of them went to play with the Turpin kids until, in her mum's words, it got weird. So that's like the neighbour said it got weird. The kids smelled, they dressed funny, had weird haircuts, and said one of the girls' hands were so white that she thought she had gloves on. But the girl told her that they had been told they couldn't wash above the wrists, for that was a waste of water. So basically her hands were white, clean, above her
wrists. So she's allowed to wash her hands?
Yeah, but she wasn't allowed to wash above her hands because that's a waste of water. So basically the rest of her must have been like really dirty and stuff, and that's why there was an apparent...
How can that be a waste of water? You're washing, you need to wash.
Exactly.
What a shame.
So the Turpin's secret was almost rumbled at this point when the eldest girl decided to run away. She had run down a road and was picked up by a neighbour, but sadly, due to her malnourishment and lack of education, it was actually thought she was mentally challenged, so she was returned to her parents. So after that, you'd actually see the kids out playing, for a while, but after a couple of weeks, you didn't see much in the games, so it was almost like they were doing it for show.
Right,
like,
yeah.
They were like letting the kids out, having a play about. And
they're fine, yeah.
Yeah, they're all good. Yeah. And then, you know, after a few months, that was it. They were sort of withdrawn again.
That's awful.
So as their secrets and perversions were starting to reveal themselves, that's when they moved to Perris in California. And what struck me as strange here was the house in Texas that they were in with the trailer. Mm-hmm. I was explaining to you, like, it was on a big bit of land, you know, a very small town, not a lot of people. So to me, that's a perfect place for what they were obviously up to behind closed doors. But the place that they moved to in California, you know, it was like a normal street, like a normal place where there's, you know, houses on each side, like street houses, you know, a much more populated area of people. And I thought, oh, I wonder why they moved there, because if they wanted to keep this secret, where they were had been living seemed more like a perfect place.
Yeah, it seems strange to have them in sort of a community, like a place where people could see what they were doing.
Basically, yeah. So I find that just a little strange. I mean, that was obviously never explained why they moved there or whatever, but I just thought it was strange. So after moving here, Louise, who is now 47, gave birth to their 13th child, because before that they'd only had the 12 kids.
Wow.
So they had a 13th child. As described, it was the domestic torture chamber was in full flight. Even though several of the children were adults, all 13 of them were rarely allowed out. They were often chained to their beds, fed once a day, bathed once a year, and had no communication with the outside world.
That's awful.
I know. I just
those. Imagine there were no communication with the outside world.
Bath once a year. I mean,
Well, I was thinking the communication was worse.
Because yeah. That was the other thing, actually, I'd seen in the different documentary, where Louise Withers said, like, she would buy, like, all these new kids, like, clothes. Like, there was rails of clothes, new, with tags on, in the closet.
But the kids never got to wear them.
Never got to wear them, because they were just in filth. So it's like, why go and buy them? And then not even let your kids wear them.
It really is.
Really weird. Yeah, so Louise's sister Teresa said that they'd walked away from the church and had told her that they even dabbled with witchcraft. So her sister
was... So I'm assuming, like, the sister didn't know any of this was going on.
No, because basically what she said was that, you know, obviously they used to, like, until they went bankrupt, you know, it was quite normal, but then they obviously withdrew from everybody, like, the family and stuff. So they would, like, FaceTime and, you know, they would sort of... But eventually, I think... Teresa said that they'd commented on the kid looking a bit thin, so like the FaceTime stopped.
Right.
I don't know if it was FaceTime at the time or whatever, maybe Skype or whatever it was, but and then eventually it was just like phone calls, just normal phone calls. They stopped seeing the children.
Right.
So she obviously, I don't think she realised exactly what was going on here at the time, but you know, she knew that, you know, for some reason they just weren't letting anybody see the kids and they just weren't talking, and let's say it got weird. So she had said, so Teresa said that she thinks that they found some cult, why else would they do what they were doing? It was pure evil, that's what she said. Like, why else would they be doing what they were doing to the kids unless they're in some kind of cult? Because she just couldn't understand how anybody
could do that. Because they're just pure evil.
Yeah, basically, I think so. So the children didn't actually spend all of their time in captivity. Photos did emerge of the whole family visiting Disneyland. The boys and girls were dressed in matching t-shirts. So I always noticed in because also there's a few photos that you've seen of them, a few different things. They're always in matching clothes, like, all the time. So, like there was a picture of them, I don't know, well, in Disneyland, they have the thing? It's
what,
like, Dr. Seuss. Yeah. So there's, like, these red t-shirts, it's like, thing one, thing two, thing three. So obviously if you're in a family, you can each have a t-shirt. So they basically had, like, I think it was, like, mum, dad thing, and then it was, like, from 1 to 13, they all had, like, these red t-shirts on with, like, thing one, thing two, thing three.
So you would think that was, like, a happy, close family
exactly. I mean, it's my middle and 10, they had clean clothes on.
Well, at least
they have
clean clothes.
Yeah, so, and I saw quite a few pictures of them matching clothes. So, you know, they must have done it for show, I think. They must have...
It seems quite strange, though, to treat them the way that they're being treated and then take them to Disneyland, because Disneyland is obviously...
Because they were quite... David and Lise, they were quite into Disneyland, like, because there was a few pictures of them on their own as well. They obviously liked Disney and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, Disney is a place where most kids want to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's a massive treat to go there. So... And in a normal situation, then you'd be thinking, yeah, great, but in this, it's just like, but why though? Because of the way that they're being treated.
Yeah.
And would that not be like a massive shock to the kids?
Yeah, you think,
like,
yeah,
all these people. I mean, you know, when I've been to Disneyland, there's a lot of people there. Yeah. So, like, to go from not seeing anybody and not having any interaction with other people to go to this massive big place where there's, like, loads of other people... You would think they would find that maybe a bit scary.
Well, as I tell you later on, I mean, like, there's things that I just can't believe they didn't even know. So, you know.
Well, yeah, they would. Yeah. I mean, I know you'll get onto it, but.
I'm just going to tell you, there's another video emerged of them. David and Louise must have renewed their vows in Vegas.
Right. So and the like kids were there.
Yeah, there's a video of, because it's like a guy dressed as Elvis that's conducting the ceremony. So they've obviously videoed it. And again, the kids are all dressed in the same outfits. So, the girls all have the same dress on and the boys have their outfit on. And it's all, like, they look all happy and smiley and they're dancing and stuff. But it does turn out that, like, before they were there, they were told, like, you must do this, you must do that. Aww. Like, Louise, they would basically told them how to act and told them what to do and not to talk to people. But, I mean, they actually do genuinely look happy. Like, but I think it's because they're probably...
They're probably scared to not look happy.
Yeah, exactly. They are. And you know, I think they were actually enjoying themselves in the sense of they were out doing something.
Yeah. They were. Maybe it wasn't put on. Maybe they were actually enjoying themselves because they were, as you said, they were out. They were doing something.
I know. It's just awful. But anyway, so by 2018, the Turpin children had actually been planning to escape from their parents for more than 2 years. So they obviously knew something wasn't right. Obviously knew that this wasn't right. So I've actually seen, like, what I'm about to tell you now, I've actually seen the footage of this because it was on the documentary, because it was caught on, like, a street camera. And then on police cams as well. So on the 14th of January 2018, two of the girls actually left the house through a window. The younger girl, who was 13, though, she became frightened and turned back. But Jordan, who I told you about before, she's, like, the main focal point of this family. She's, like, the one. So she was 17. So in this
was she the oldest or was
no,
the
she wasn't
ones?
The oldest. The oldest one was actually 29.
Oh wow!
Mm-hmm.
I never realized.
I'll tell you more about her.
As I said, like, I did listen to a podcast about it, but I was, like, lying in bed listening to it, and I think I maybe, like, sort of drifted off, so I didn't.
I think it's just like amazing, because I'm thinking to myself, in my 20s, if my mum and dad didn't let me go out cheap, I mean, I just can't imagine that. Like, can you imagine mum and dad stopping you from going out and doing things that you did?
No, but then we weren't, they've been conditioned to that. Yeah. They've had that their whole lives, haven't they? So, you know, for in a normal situation, we're used to being out and...
But it just shows you what power they obviously had over their children. Yeah. I mean,
but they have, that's all they've known. That's all the kids have known. So,
exactly.
You know, they wouldn't... They, all they know is to do as the parents tell them, and, you know, that's just the way it is. And
So basically, you see, like, the street camera,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously in the darkness, you can just see this, like, you know, person,
mm-hmm.
which is Jordan, and you just sort of see her, you know, come out of the house, and then she's sort of walking along, and then all of a sudden she just sort of runs.
Does she have, like, clothes on her shin? Nightwear or, like...
Well, I don't know what she... Because the footage is, like, in dark at nighttime, I can't clearly see what she's actually wearing.
I just wondered if it was, like, sort of, like, rags or if it was, like, proper clothes.
The clothes were dirty, and she had, like, I remember she put a cap on because it was, I think it was one of her siblings' caps, but it was, like, to remind her why she was doing what she was doing, she said. She'd put... Because she never started off with a cap, but then she had a backpack. Mm. And she put the cap on her head, but I don't actually know what she was wearing. So she got out of the house on the street and she just, like, ran a distance. And then she actually managed to... She'd actually had a phone with her. It was a disconnected mobile, but it was still able to phone 911.
All right.
So she phoned 911. And I've heard some of the calls.
I just assumed that she went to a phone box. Yeah, I thought it was a public phone she went to.
But no, because the phone, I'll tell you where the phone come from later. Because I was like, how's she even got a phone? Like, how does she know how to use it, etc. But I can explain a bit more of that later. But anyway, she had this phone that she managed to phone 911 on. So as I said, I heard the call. And you just hear her saying, you know, can you help me? My parents are abusive and two of my sisters are chained up. The 911 call handler asks, like, how many are tied up, and she replies by saying two of my sisters, and then she remembers one of my brothers as well, and she went on to say, you know, we live in filth, and sometimes I wake up and I can't breathe, because of how dirty the house is. She was asked when was the last time she had a bath, and her reply was, I don't know, almost a year ago. And the thing is, we'll see, like, when you hear the call, because her vocabulary isn't great. Like, the way she talks, it's not...
Is it maybe, like, a sort of a lot younger than what she is?
Yeah, and it's, like, sort of slow and just, not as a normal 17-year-old. It's, like, fluent and stuff. Yeah. And it's, I mean, she can also talk and she can form her words. But it's just slightly... You can tell there's a difference in the way she talks. Right. Like, it's not quite normal, I would say. I mean, she's still a good talker.
Aye.
But just not...
It's understandable, though, isn't it?
Not fluent. So she went on to say that, you know, she's never been out. I don't go out much, so I don't know anything about the streets or anything. You know, she didn't even know what a sidewalk was. Because I think she said at one point she was sort of running on the road because she didn't realise she was supposed to be on a pavement sidewalk. She didn't actually know.
Wow.
That's just something you think's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think...
That's something that you'd learn from being a toddler.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like...
But because they didn't really go out anywhere, she didn't even know what a pavement was. So she was asked if she was homeschooled. I think initially the call handler probably thought she'd just a normal runaway from her house, basically. So she was obviously asking a lot of questions. So she asked if she was homeschooled. And her reply was, no, we don't do school. Our mother tells people that we're private schooled and she has a fake private school set up, but we don't really do school.
Hmm.
I haven't finished first grade and I'm 17.
Wow.
So I think first grade's like, what, like primary one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... It's
like a five-year-old.
Yeah. So, you know, she hasn't done anything really. So Jordan, you know, she did speak bitterly about Louise on the 911 call. She said that, I don't know much about my mother. She doesn't like us. She doesn't spend time with us ever. And Jordan, she had never seen a police officer. She didn't know what a hospital was, or she didn't even know what medication was.
Wow.
Because when the office, when the police officer, because obviously then you see the, because basically the call handler asks her to go and stand. She's like, do you see any street signs, etc.? She's like, oh, I see a stop sign. She's like, no, go and stand beside that.
Because
there was a guy, you know, on his way back, on his way, the police officer who'd taken a call. But he was about 15 minutes away. So she was panicking because she was like, oh my God, what if like my parents see me? What if they realise I've gone? You know. So the police officer turned up, so then it switches to like his body cam, so you see him and you see Jordan, but again it's so dark and shadowed that you can't make it all out. But again, I think he just thinks, oh, she's run away, because he was actually finishing his shift, he said in it. So he was like, oh, I've, you know, had these things before, I thought I was just gonna go get the girl, you know, take her home, etc, etc. Not realizing about what he was about to hang out on. So of course, for some reason, like, she's had the brainwave to actually take pictures of her siblings tied up. Or I don't know if it was girls. I think it might have been girls that were tied up. She actually took pictures of them in the house, like, tied up before she left, like, so that she actually had the proof to show.
I'm surprised you know how to do that, though, eh?
Yeah, well, surprisingly, she'd actually uploaded YouTube videos as well. So they obviously had, like, I think they had watched, like, televisions, and they'd maybe been given devices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think her brother maybe had a phone or a device or something. So just, they were aware of it, just not like we're aware of it.
Yeah.
Because so, like I say, she liked to sing. So she'd actually uploaded a video of her singing. And in fact, she'd uploaded more videos of her singing, but it would always been in her bathroom, I think. And she must have been interacting with people that had commented on her posts, and somebody must have said, you know, why are you always in there? You know, why I was there? And through a conversation with this person, that's when she really realised that things weren't right in her life, like that it was abuse. And that's actually what gave her the courage to go, no, I need to do something about this. I need to report this, etc. Which I thought was quite good, just by a total stranger.
Yeah.
You know.
Good on that person making her realise.
So anyway, so she showed the police officer the pictures of the abuse, and that's when he was like, oh, right, there's something wrong here. Because she was obviously scared that he was just going to take her back to the house.
Yeah.
Because I think that's normally what, if it's a runaway, that generally happens. Yeah. But obviously she was so scared because she was like, if I went back to the house, I think they would just kill me. That's the type of parents that they were.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, if to find out that she'd done what she'd done, then who knows what would have happened to her if they just took her back.
Yeah, so basically once they'd established that there was something big here, they did actually, like, he obviously called for backup. And they did ask Jordan to go back. Did she want to go back to the house? But she was like, no, I can't, because I think, you know, whatever. So I think she was still, like, nervous about thinking she might just go back and that all would be good. So deputies of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, they decided to turn up at the house and say that they were doing a welfare check.
Right.
Because they, you know, that's what they were going to do. So they knocked on the door. And at first, nobody answered the door. So it was just like, but they obviously persisted and knocked. And eventually you see David and Louise at the door. Because again, this is through their police cam thing. So you see them come up to the door. So I think they're a bit startled. I think, well, why is the police at my house sort of thing? So they're like, oh, we're doing like a welfare check. And, you know, obviously we're can we come inside and have a look, basically. So they let them in. So once inside, the police officers, they encountered a house reeking of human excrement, decaying rubbish, dead pets, see, told you at the front of that, and moulding food, with every surface covered in rubbish. Like, it was just like a hoarder's house, really, just rubbish everywhere, just minging, absolutely minging. I'm just laughing, because I think my daughter's been at my book, and she's put a wee love heart and a kiss at the top there. That's not being So
probably just as well she can't read that great yet then.
I know, because I think I'd left it lying out when I was in the middle of it.
You do realise that your daughter's learning to read now, so probably not a good idea to leave things like that lying around.
I shouldn't have left it there. She should put a wee love heart and a kiss on your phone. So. that's nice.
Well, that was nice here, but yeah, Parent 101, don't let your child read your true crime stories.
Totally not. So anyway, they found the other 12 children. One had been shackled to a bed for weeks, and two others were also found shackled.
Oh.
The children were found with bruises on their arms, which actually, the kid, like Jordan, she didn't know what a bruise was. Like,
yeah.
She didn't know that, because when she was trying to explain to them, to the police officer in the photo, she was like, oh, just like, sort of march. She couldn't explain that was a bruise.
Yeah. She wouldn't know the words. She wouldn't know the word for it.
Exactly. They appeared frail and they were caked in dirt. And the children were so malnourished that deputies thought they were all under 18, when in fact 7 of them were over 18.
Wow.
The house contained hundreds of journals written by the children about their lives as well.
So the kids read and write then?
Yeah, it wasn't
so...
like they were... completely...
They've obviously been taught at some point then.
Well, it actually turns out that only the oldest child ever went to a school. She was in school for the first... I can't remember how long it was now, but she was the only one that actually went to a public school. But she was withdrawn when... You know, because she went and she was, like, dirty and...
I'm sure the teachers would have...
Because they did say that that's what they were surprised at, that the teachers didn't actually pick up at all. But she was withdrawn from school after so long, so she was the only one that ever got any education.
But the parents must have taught them.
Well, actually, that's what I've taught you, that the older kids did teach the younger kids some stuff.
Right.
So there was... I don't know where they've obviously been taught it from, probably from their parents, I guess, but the older kids did teach, like, the younger kids bits and pieces as well. So for years, you know, the parents had imprisoned, beaten and strangled their children, allowing them to eat just once a day and shower once a year. The older children appeared much younger because of malnourishment. So the 29-year-old weighed just 82 pounds, or just over 5.5 stone. The 11-year-old child had an arm circumference equivalent to a 4-month-old baby.
Oh.
Some appeared to lack the basic knowledge of the world, and as I said before, you know, they didn't know what police hospitals or even medicine were, so they didn't know, and I mean...
So what did they do? Like, none of the kids must have ever got really, really sick then.
That's what the police officer said. He's like, you know, do you take any medication? And she was like, what's medication?
What is it?
And he was like, well, if you're not feeling well or anything, and she was like, oh, we take something, I can't remember what it was called now, but it was something for, like, headaches. Mm. So there was, like, one thing that we'd taken, but other than that, you know, they didn't have normal stuff. They didn't know what hospital was, for Christ's sake.
None of them must have been serious. Must have been sick, really.
I'm assuming not.
But that's strange, though, for children to get, especially to get up to, like, 29 years old without needing to see a doctor for anything.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't even have to be serious, but even just for, maybe,
and then considering the conditions that they were living in, you think they would be prone to maybe not, you know, catching things and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously there was nothing. I mean, I don't know anything about what illnesses they may have had, you know, as they were growing up, because there was nothing there to tell me. But I don't know.
Yeah, I just find it strange that they can get
obviously
to that
nothing
age
serious
without...
enough that they've been at a hospital, basically.
Yeah, but it's strange that. I just can't imagine getting to that age without even having to go to the doctors for something.
I know.
That's weird.
I mean, we've all been at the doctors when we're kids, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've all been to the doctors before you're 29 years old. We've all been to the doctors at some point.
Exactly.
Totally. So they've obviously just, if they haven't been feeling well, they've either let them be, or maybe they have managed to get hold of, maybe the parents have got some over-the-counter sort of medicine for them.
They just don't, if they don't even know what it is, they've not been aware of it.
Well, they don't necessarily have to know what medication is to have been given medicine at some point.
That's true, but I say they did also have something for headaches, I think she said, but I can't remember what it's called. That's something I hadn't heard of anyway. So Louise had a brother as well, and he was obviously part of the documentary that I watched. I remember him saying that he wasn't happy with, like, the neighbours. He said that one neighbour had said that they had saw the kids marching in a circle one night in the back garden, and another neighbour said that they saw two of the boys digging around the bins at night, but neither said or did anything at the time. So he was annoyed because he was like, well, surely you must have thought something was wrong. But I mean, it's difficult, isn't it?
Because you
tend to mind your own business, don't you?
You do.
And it is a bit weird that the kids would be out in the dark marching, because they obviously weren't seen in the daytime, so that must have been like maybe their exercise or something where they were out, you know.
But to me, that could have been like, that could be a game that the kids were playing. They maybe could have been, we're soldiers, like we're playing a game. I mean, I know it's probably a bit far-fetched, but
I know.
As you said, like, we tend to sort of just mind our own business when it comes to our neighbours, because nobody wants to fall out with their neighbours. They don't want to cause any hassle because you have to live next to these people.
Yeah.
And like the boys raking in the bin, well, I've raked in a bin before because my flatmate managed to put my engagement ring in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go raking through the bin. You know what I mean? So it could have been something like that. Exactly. You maybe would.
But he just seemed
I would have thought you would make excuses. If I saw, I've got a neighbour, they've got two young boys. If I saw them raking in the bin, I probably wouldn't think anything about it because I probably would just think, oh, they've lost something, so they're checking to see if they've chucked it out by accident.
Boys are boys, you know what they're like. They're,
who knows?
You know, yeah,
I probably wouldn't think that much of it.
Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking. I mean, I can understand how he was upset.
That's an afterthought, isn't it?
Because
of what was going on.
In that moment, I kind of thought, well, would you have? I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I mean...
It does depend. Like, obviously, we don't know the details. They were marching around, they were raking in the bins. Maybe there was more to it than that.
Exactly.
But if that's all it was, I don't think I would have done anything about that either. So
I was like, well, I know he's upset because of what has happened.
Of course, yeah. And it's easy to have hindsight, isn't it?
Oh, totally, yeah. And I'm sure the neighbours in their hindsight wish they had said something. Yeah, but
of course.
In that moment, I mean, you don't think there's going to be something as horrendous as that going on.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's the thing. You just, you never think that anything bad's going on, do you? Nobody really wants to think of things like that.
Totally not.
And especially not to that degree.
Exactly. So David and Louise Turpin were charged with 12 counts of false imprisonment, 7 counts of abuse of a dependent adult, and 6 counts of child abuse. David received an additional charge of a lewd act on a child under 14.
Huh? On one of his children?
Well, it doesn't say. I didn't get this, but that was all it said, so I don't know whether that was his children. I mean, that's what I just said.
Right, okay. Well,
I can't answer.
Yeah.
So initially, they actually pled not guilty.
Okay.
But on the 22nd of February 2019, David and Louise each changed their not guilty pleas to guilty, to 1 count of torture, 3 counts of willful child cruelty, 4 counts of false imprisonment and 6 counts of cruelty to an adult dependent. Both were found guilty and sent to life imprisonment with the possibility of parole after 25 years. However, experts believe they will never receive parole due to the severity of the crime, making it effectively a life sentence, which I agree, I don't
totally
think it should be.
They should be allowed.
For what they put those kids through, I think the fact that they even say there was a possibility of parole is just an insult.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to finish what you were saying, but I was thinking to myself, nah.
Yeah.
They should be kept, they should be in there for the rest of their lives because they've done that over 30 years, 29 years, whatever it was, the oldest child was.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long they've done that for. That's not just I smacked my child or something.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't just a one-off
they
thing.
They abused all their children.
Yeah.
They're
dangerous people.
What got me was like, but, you know, God apparently told them to have all these children. But did God not tell you to take care of your children properly?
No, obviously not. Obviously, he just told them to have the children.
Yeah, but not to actually take care of them. I mean, there's a lot of children to have. I mean, 13 children is a lot to manage. But I'm sorry, if you do the deed, then you've got to, you know, accept the responsibility and look after those children properly.
Well, exactly. It doesn't matter how many children you have, whether you have 1 child or 13 children, you know, you have to look after them. That's just the way it is. What's the point in having them if you're not going to look after them?
Exactly.
And if God has told you to have them, I'm sure, did you not think that God was expecting you to do something after that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You're expected to look after the children
exactly
after that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because they can't fend for themselves in this world. That
absolutely disgusting.
It is. It really is.
It's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age as well.
Oh, no. I know, because it's only fairly recent as well.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, for that to happen, I mean, obviously it's been going back.
Yeah, it goes back a long time.
Yeah, but, like, for it to be so recent that for them to have been caught, because I'm assuming the youngest child was still a baby, wasn't it? It was still young anyway.
Yeah, because it was 2015 or something like that.
Yeah, the youngest one
was still
young. So that's how recent it's been. And obviously, you know, they've been abusing the children for all that time, but it's the fact that technology actually did save them, though, after, because we're saying in this day and age, but the fact that it was technology that saved them, because, like, as you said, it was the uploading to YouTube
I know, so I was just trying to do our singing videos that...
So what had happened if it hadn't have been so recent? What if this was, like, 50 years ago?
Yeah, would they have got...
Less than that.
Would they have got out of the cycle of abuse?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure they would have escaped.
Because they maybe didn't realise, because from what it sounds like, they didn't realise that they were really... they didn't realise that it was that bad, because it's this person from the outside on YouTube that said
basically, exactly. You're being abused.
Yeah, exactly. Because initially they just thought this was life.
This was life.
And that's what it was. And then, you know, obviously.
So, yeah, so would they have realised? Yeah. Or would they have just kept going on? I mean, would these people have grown up to be 50 years old and still...
I mean, look at the oldest one being 29 at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know.
That's scary.
That's crazy. And that's... I mean, Jordan, obviously I've seen an interview with Jordan and she's just so brave. Like, so, like, she saved
of course.
Her.
She saved her family. Mm, exactly. But, like, just to think, especially the older ones, how are they going to adjust?
Yeah. Well, the good news is that you get to... Because, obviously, a lot of them, you don't know anything about them. It's just Jordan and the oldest, who's 29.
I did see on TikTok.
Jennifer, yeah. So they did an interview together.
Yeah.
So they're the only two that have actually spoken out.
I didn't actually watch the interview because... Uh-huh. I knew that you were going to do this, so but I did recently see their interviews, but I thought, no, I can watch them now, but...
Yeah, so I'll tell you about that. So all the children spent several weeks in hospital afterwards.
Hopefully getting lots of care and food.
Well, I've had that thought.
Okay.
So afterwards, the six minors were put into foster care. And at this point, you probably think that the Turpin kids, you know, will start to live a happier life.
Mm-hmm.
But... However, there were reports of more abuse taking place in the foster homes. In October 2019, five of the kids were adopted by their foster family as the abuse was occurring. But the foster family was actually arrested and charged with abusing multiple children in their care. So after all that abuse that they've just suffered...
They will know that those children have suffered that abuse.
Absolutely. And they went into this foster home... And I actually think it included Jordan because she was a minor, 17.
Right.
That they were then, I don't know what kind of abuse they were thinking to, but there was more abuse for those poor kids, which I think is horrific.
But they know what those kids have been through and they're putting them through even more.
And well, the system as well has put them in.
That's horrific.
So in early 2020, the Riverside County Deputy District Attorney said that some of the children... We're living independently, living in their own apartment and have jobs and are going to school. But an investigation for the ABC News magazine 2020, which covered the case for the November 2021 special, reported that some of the Turpin children are now neglected by Riverside County Social Services. Some are homeless and none can use the hundreds of thousands of dollars donated to them. The money was placed in a trust controlled by a court-appointed guardian. One of the boys, Joshua Turpin, stated that he could not access funds and he was denied the purchase of a bike.
Why is he denied access?
Well, exactly, I don't understand.
That money is for them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they couldn't access the money that's been donated to them.
Oh, that is absolutely awful.
So during an interview, which is the one you're probably talking about, with Diane Sawyer for the 2020 special, which was called House of Horrors, that was the name, Jordan, you know, stated that she was released without warning from a foster home with no life skills, no plans for housing or knowledge of how to get food and health care.
Wow.
So according to a report, Riverside County have hired a private law firm to investigate allegations of abuse by social services. So I'm going to tell you about the interview, which I've said there. Discussed from memory.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hope that your memory was good then.
So they did an interview, and I actually, because obviously I'd seen Jordan up to this point, but then you've seen Jennifer, who was now 33 at the time of this interview.
So is this the oldest one?
This is the oldest one. And even though you know she's the oldest one, she still looks so young. Like, you wouldn't think she was 33. Like, just in her appearance, she looks younger than she is.
Yeah.
In her, the way that she talks, the way that she speaks, she just sounds so much younger.
That's understandable.
And it's obviously based from, you know, the whole years of, you know, malnourishment and thing. And then she actually said in the interview, she's like, I'll refer to them as like mother and father in this, for the purposes of this interview. But that's not why, you know, that's not how I refer to them anymore. But that's for the purpose of the interview they did. And I mean, she was quite, I think, psychologically, you could see it. I mean, Jordan, to me, she's like so strong, brave.
Mm.
While she can still see it affects her, but she's like really more confident, I would say, more... Whereas Jennifer, you could see she was quite withdrawn, reserved.
Right,
You know, not quite comfortable in the situation.
Well, people, they're going to deal with it differently as well, aren't they?
But I just thought, you know, they're just so brave talking about it because they basically, you know, they recounted the whole thing and, you know, Jordan, you know, recounted on, they'd seen, like, footage that she hadn't even seen before, like, so, like, the police cam footage and stuff. And I think it did upset them, obviously.
Yeah.
But they were just so, so brave and just, you know, just telling the whole story.
Imagine coming from that, from spending your whole life being mm-hmm. basically kept in a house, chained up, you know, malnourished, all the abuse, mm-hmm. then to sitting on TV
yeah.
and telling the world, basically, you yeah. know, what's happened to you. That's well brave. Yeah. Like, I mean, I just can't imagine.
I mean, I was sitting there going, I just can't believe you are sitting there so brave. And then there was that, because there was actually they did another interview with like a Good Morning America show that was obviously after their special had been aired and stuff, and they were talking about it again, and just they're obviously like the two focal points, because none of the rest of the family have spoken out or have been interviewed or anything like that, so they're just like the two ones that have spoken about it. And I mean, Jordan herself, she's actually followed her on TikTok because she's actually got a TikTok page,
right?
So she's just been verified on it as well, because she wasn't under her normal name, actually, she was under a different name, but obviously I'd been the research, I'd seen that she had one. But she's obviously just been verified and she's now changed it to her normal name. Just like that, dances and stuff like that.
Yeah, any support we can give her, eh?
Totally. I mean, but then like you can still, in the way that they, like she talks as well, like you can, I don't know how to explain it. You need to like listen to her to understand.
You can tell a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference in how her speech
is.
I mean, while she's very well spoken and stuff, it's very apparent that it just doesn't seem quite normal.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be. I mean, like, if you think about, you know, having a normal childhood, you're learning how to speak. You're not just stuck with your parents and your siblings. You're going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You've got different people to speak to there, and whatever groups that you maybe go to outside of school.
Yeah.
So you're the TV that you're watching. Everything that's all going to impact on the way that you learn and the way that you speak. But if they don't have that,
And I mean, Jennifer, she's got her own place now, and.
Oh.
I can't remember what she was doing. I'm sure she had a job or something, but I can't remember what it was. But she was doing well for herself, basically.
Good.
And then Jordan, she wants to basically carry on raising awareness about things like that. Like,
yeah.
So she'd like to go and, like, you know, do speeches and stuff.
Yeah,
people and
good
stuff.
On her.
Like an advocate for it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to be fair, like, she's totally got the...
She'd be the perfect... as horrible as it sounds, she'd be the perfect person
totally,
for
the
it.
Person, yeah. And, I mean, she just... You know, she's still... I think she said she was still dealing with her issues from the abuse of... the foster homes and stuff like that. But I mean, they looked great. I mean,
I hope they're all getting a lot of like therapy and stuff, like,
I think
to deal with it.
But I mean, the two girls, they looked so well and amazing, but you could still see just like, especially Jennifer, just because she's 33, and I think, you know, it's only a few years younger than what I am,
mm-hmm.
but yet she looks a lot younger than that, I think, you know, but, you know.
And to think like how privileged your life has been compared to theirs, to hers, you know.
I know. But hopefully now they can go on and live what life should be like.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
Find out things and experience.
Go and enjoy the rest of their life. But unfortunately, look what they've came into though. They've came into a pandemic. They've you know.
I know.
So life isn't normal. Life isn't normal yet. So they still won't be able to experience normal life because we're still in a pandemic.
Well, that's it. And that was the other thing that Jordan said, is that it was actually Justin Bieber. Like, she used to watch, because she'd obviously got... That's how she got on YouTube. She'd actually started watching his videos. And, like, she would obviously follow, like, you know, documentaries on him and stuff like that. And she was like, oh, so that's what, you know, life should be like. That's the things that I should be doing. You know, he was having a great time doing all these things. And, you know, she was, you know, sort of, he was, like, something that got her through, basically, the days that it was hard and stuff. So
good. I feel like we're just so privileged and so spoilt now, like, having a decent childhood,
just
you know.
Shows you, I mean, you know... As bad as horrible as I think, but there are many probably other kids' families. I don't know if it's as horrific as that, but certainly going through things behind closed doors that you just don't know about.
I know.
And I mean, you know, there's been a few recent things over here in the UK that, you know, a few kids have been killed by their parents because of the abuse and torture and stuff. So
absolutely awful. I just don't understand how anybody could do that to anybody.
And like, I mean, I am honestly surprised and shocked that they have all survived. Like, none of them have actually died at all. You know, they've actually all, you know, got through this, and hopefully they will live a long, happy life. And, you know.
Let's hope so, because they deserve it, a lot of them.
And I hope that they too rot in jail. And
they
don't deserve to see the light of day.
Surely not. Surely they're not going
to
come out.
I mean, I have to say, not that you like to stereotype people, but just looking at them as well, they give me the chills just looking at me.
I mean, like, I don't think that's really a stereotype, but I think evil people, they just have that look that is. It's
like,
quite chilling, quite terrifying.
Honestly.
Yeah. And they you have to be evil to do that.
Oh, totally.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand how anybody can abuse anybody, mm-hmm. but like to do it to children is mm-hmm. just the worst.
That's where it's. I find it hard. You know how like they see like the cycle of abuse, where because obviously Louise herself had been yeah. abused when she was younger, but you'd think she would want to do everything to not have that repeated. But yet,
I think it just goes one way or the other though, because mm-hmm. you do find that a lot. Mm-hmm. But you do get people who are like, right, I'm not going to let that happen to my children, yeah. you know. But there are people, a lot of people who abuse mm-hmm. have been abused.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of
that. I mean, obviously you can't, that's no excuse whatsoever, but that's obviously where that's maybe something come from in her head and her thoughts that, you know, she's experienced that in her life and mm-hmm. somehow she's then decided that it's going to end up being like to her kids as well. It's awful.
It's just absolutely horrific.
So I hope they rot in hell.
I really hope they rot in hell. They deserve it.
And I really
it.
Hope the kids, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly the situations of all the other kids now. I mean, I've just seen, obviously, Jordan and Jennifer, but
hopefully really the hope kids then,
yeah.
are happy now, or, you know, on their way
the,
to be happy.
The system, the social service, whoever it is that's been in charge, them has a good look at themselves as well to allow them to go into a foster home to be adopted. But to be in an abusive family, I mean, that's absolutely dreadful. They've been through enough as it is to go through that again. It's just...
I know. I really hope the system is good to them. Like, I just hope that they end up in happy homes. I mean, because obviously not every foster or, you know, is going to be like that. But
yeah.
Hopefully they're on their way to becoming happy. And luckily, I mean, like, hopefully the young... I don't know how young they are, but hopefully the younger ones will eventually forget it.
I think the youngest ones would. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the older ones will be scarred for life. Probably,
exactly. But yeah. So thanks for that.
Yes, you're
welcome. You're welcome.
Or not welcome.
So yeah. If you'd like to get in contact with us, then our information will be in the show notes. As I said, I'll put in our missing person of the week. Their details will be in the show notes as well, and I will put the missing poster on socials. In a couple of days, probably.
Course, if you like us and you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.